Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all here this morning. Thank you for coming, and thank you for those who are online as well, too, for tuning and joining. The message this morning, what has been brought to my mind, I've entitled this, is What to Remember and What to Forget. What to Remember and What to Forget. As I get older, I find myself forgetting more and more things. Where did I put my glasses? Where did I set my keys? Where's the tool that I was just using? And just as I think that I'm finished fixing the car and I start cleaning up my tools, and then I find some nuts and bolts sitting on the ground, and I start to ask myself, well, where did this come from? And, you know, life is full of things like that require our attention, and we all depend on our memories, don't we? In order for us to do these things, our memories are so important. It's kind of interesting to reflect upon things that we remember and things that we forget. As you know, my father-in-law, my wife's dad, developed dementia in his later years, and it was hard for the family to kind of watch his mental health deteriorate because it affected so many things that he was able to do. But he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord, and that never went away. And we kind of noticed that his long-term memory seemed to be what stayed the strongest. In the nursing home where he was staying, the nurses sometimes would find him beside his bed in the morning or in the evening or at night. And they had thought that he had actually fallen off his bed and injured himself. But what he was doing was he was actually praying. And he grew up in a Christian home and developed a habit at an early age of kneeling down in prayer at night or in the morning. And that never left him. He developed a deep reverence for God. And so we're thankful for the things that we remember to do. And praying was something that he always remembered to do. And so I've come to appreciate now the ability to remember things, and often thought to myself, I wonder what God would like us to remember, and what would he like us to forget? What does the scripture teach about this topic? And we live in a very hectic world that's always trying to get our attention. And they're telling us, this is important, you should focus on this, this is what's important, you should be doing something about it. But I submit to you this morning, I think we need a heavenly perspective. I think we need to think about what God tells us we should remember. What's important that we need to remember, and what's important that we need to forget. So that's kind of what's been on my heart this morning. One of the things that as I thought about this, as I looked into the scriptures about this, the main thing that the Lord asks us to do is to remember him. To remember him. On the night that the Lord was betrayed, we know that he took the bread and the cup, and he asks us to do this in remembrance of him. So I just wanted to look at this very important commandment today and to see why it is so important that we should do so. And then, as time permits, to look at other scriptures that the Lord has brought to our attention about what we need to remember and what we need to forget, but also what God remembers and what he chooses to forget. So that's what we hope to do this morning. And before I forget, let's open in a word of prayer and commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the wonderful truths that we can learn from it. And I just pray for your wisdom this morning and help for us together to kind of understand what you are trying to speak to us about. So we pray that everything said this morning would be a help and a blessing and an encouragement to all. And we commit this to you now. Give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so let's start and talk about what it means in the Bible when it says God remembers. When God remembers. What does it mean when it says God remembers? I don't think it implies that God all of a sudden remembered some random thought or something that he had forgotten. I don't think that's what it means when it says God remembers. You see, our minds are finite. God is infinite. He knows all things. He knows the past, the present, and the future. He is perfect and all-powerful and all-knowing and present everywhere. And so, what does it mean when he says, and God remembers? I believe he is using here a figure of speech to help us understand what he is actually trying to say. I'll give you an example. In the Bible, it says, God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. Well, what does that mean? I submit to you, when he says, God remembered Noah, it's something that, a figure of speech that he's using to help us understand a little bit better about his character and his faithfulness to keep the promises that he has made. To keep the promises that he has made to carry out his plan and his action. And in this case, it says God remembered Noah because he made a promise to save him and his family from a catastrophic flood. And when God says he remembered Noah, or you, or I, or the nation of Israel, what he is saying is he is demonstrating that he keeps his promises, that he will act according to the promises that he's made, and he will fulfill them. The word for remember in Hebrew, I looked this up, it's zakar, Z-A-K-A-R. And it not only means to remember, but it also means that to engage in whatever that memory requires. It's remembering, but followed by a related action. So let me illustrate. Let's say you remember it's your anniversary on Saturday. And so you buy a present, you write a card, you get some flowers, and you make reservations at your spouse's favorite restaurant. On the other hand, you also have a friend who remembered it's their anniversary on Saturday, but instead he makes reservations to play a round of golf with his friends. And not only that, he plans to have food and drinks at the pub later on afterwards. So which one demonstrated that they actually remembered their anniversary? When God remembered Noah and all the animals and all the livestock that were with him in the ark, what did he do? We read in Genesis 8:1, it says that he caused a wind to pass over the earth and the water subsided. God remembered Noah and saved him and his family and the animals by sending the wind to dry the earth so that they could settle on land again. So the action that was associated with what God reset when he remembered Noah was that he demonstrated by sending the wind to dry the earth. So how many verses are in the Bible that contain the word remember or remembrance? I happened to do a quick search, and I found 292 verses are in the Bible with this word remember. Another way to describe to remember is do not forget. Do not forget has the same meaning as to remember. And then there were another 25 verses that I found that talk about do not forget or contain the phrase do not forget. And so if you combine these together, there's over 320 verses in the Bible that covers this topic. So it won't take you long before you come across this verse. And it's a huge topic. It's a big topic with many applications, but I'd like to just look at a few today and go through them together with you. And I hope that these verses will be a help. So let's start. First one is in 2 Peter chapter 3. If you'd like to turn there with me, let's see what the Word of God says about the thought of remembrance here in 2 Peter chapter 3. Oh, I'm in 1 John. Oh, just a second. 1 Peter 3. I think I've got the wrong reference here. 2 Peter. Okay. 2 Peter. Ah, there we go. 2 Peter 3, verse 1 and 2. This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Okay, so what Peter is saying here, he is referring first of all to his letters that he's written, There's 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And the purpose of his letters is that he wants to stir up our minds by way of reminding concerning the scriptures. In other words, he wants us to actively engage our minds, our thinking concerning the scriptures, that which God has revealed to us in his word in the Bible. And, you know, as believers, we know or we come across many scriptures, many verses all the time. But we all need to be reminded, we need to be stirred up with the scriptures, our minds stimulated, energized, engaged with a goal of moving us forward in our faith and to a deeper faith and walk with Christ. So we need to be spurred on into fruitful service, into action by way of reminder of the scriptures. You know, and sometimes quite often when we read a passage or we hear a message or we listen to a devotion or a podcast, you know, we feel spiritually refreshed or convicted or challenged. And we realize after that message, we realize that that was exactly what God knew that I needed to hear that day, that morning. I mean, how many of us here have had that experience when we hear something, read something, and we thank God that he speaks to us in such a personal way? And so by exposing ourselves to the Word of God, he can speak to us and impress upon our hearts certain things that we really need to pay attention to. Okay, the second portion of verses I'd like to look at is in John chapter 14. If you'd like to turn there with me, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 14:26. Says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And the application here is that we have a teacher, the Holy Spirit, that indwells every believer. He is our helper, and he will teach us all things and help us to understand what the Word of God is saying, to help us understand what the scriptures are teaching so that we can navigate through life's challenges and difficulties and problems. We just sang about how the anchor holds and how we're going through challenges and storms in life. And over the years, I have found that the problems, the challenges that we have, if you want to know how to navigate through them, the Bible, this is the Word of God that has the answer to help us to navigate through those challenges. I have found that every time when there are difficulties, I'm able to go to the Word of God and pray and asking God to show me, and he does. The answers are right here in the Bible if you would just pray and seek the God for wisdom. And so I would encourage you, this is the source that we should all go to first and foremost when we struggle and when we get into trouble. The problem is, when we get into trouble, quite often, the first thing we do is try to fix the problem in our own strength, in our own wisdom. And we forget, or we ignore, or we just don't go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his help. And that's kind of how I sometimes just realize after struggling for a while, oh, I guess I should pray. I guess I should ask God for help here. And many a times I've come to that a state or situation myself. And it's a comfort to know that every believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling within us to help us. He will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Okay, now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11, which is the heart of what I want to look at this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's read verses 23 to 30. And this is very familiar to a lot of us this morning, perhaps. But this is the instruction for the remembrance service, the breaking of bread that we do here at Westview each Sunday. It reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup,
You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Lord, he'll add his blessing to the reading of his word here. The breaking of bread, the Passover. The Passover was the most sacred feast of all the Jewish festivals, religious festivals each year. There's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There is the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, to name a few. But the Passover is the most sacred as it commemorated the final plague in Egypt when the firstborn of the Egyptians died, but the Israelites were spared and because of the blood of a lamb that they had applied to their doorpost. The lamb then was roasted and eaten with unleavened bread, but God commanded the Israelites to celebrate this Passover feast throughout the generations to come as a remembrance of his protection and of his deliverance. So in the New Testament, during the Last Supper, the Lord actually was celebrating the Passover feast with his disciples here when he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the bread, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, why should we remember the Lord in this way? Why should we remember the Lord in this way? I submit to you that it is because we are giving the Lord Jesus the highest honor by remembering him in his appointed way. We kind of find a similar idea on Remembrance Day here in Canada, November the 11th, when we remember and honor those who gave their lives and died in war to fight for our freedom. It's kind of the same idea. We're honoring their sacrifice. But the Lord's Supper is God's idea. And Jesus instituted this as a commandment for all believers to follow as the way to honor him. So a few things that I noted here, I'd like to share with you about the Lord's Supper. Number one, this is the Lord Jesus himself who requested that we do this. It's a simple request. He's not asking much of us, just our time, our attention, and our worship. Second, it's only bread. And we typically use wine or grape juice in the cup, but symbolically, it reminds us of that sacrifice on the cross when he died and he shed his blood for us. Thirdly, we're not told how often to commemorate the Lord. There is no verse that says you are to remember him once a week for an hour. It does say, though, but as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, at Westview here, we remember the Lord once a week. That is based on a pattern that we observe in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 7. I'll read that to you. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says this: "On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight." So we see that the early church gathered together to break bread on the first day of the week and to listen to long messages. So how much time do I have this morning? The important point here is that we are to remember the Lord. That's what he has asked us to do. Now, the next point here is what we are doing is we are remembering the Lord Jesus and declaring to the world that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead on the third day, just as he said, and that one day he will keep his promise and will come again to bring everyone who believes in him to heaven. That's what we are also doing. We're declaring to the world that he is coming to again, reminding ourselves of that. And lastly, the covenant sacrifice of the Passover lamb is no longer needed because Christ now has implemented a new covenant in his own blood as he has become the perfect sacrifice. The verses in Hebrews chapter 10 kind of talk to us about this. Let me just read that for you. You don't have to turn to it. Hebrews 10 verse 11 to 14 says this: every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, that's the Lord Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. So the Old Testament sacrifices needed to be offered time and time again because they only covered sins for a period of time. But the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus is done only once because it takes away our sins and completely removes the penalty for them as far as the east is from the west, we are told in the scriptures. They are gone in a sense that our penalties for our sins, past, present, and future, are paid in full by the Lord Jesus himself. Therefore, his sacrifice is the perfect sacrifice and does not ever need to be repeated again. And if you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would strongly encourage you to do that today because he loves you and he died to save you. And he will gladly grant you forgiveness of sins and eternal life in heaven if only you would ask him to do so. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we do so only until he comes. This tells us two things. He is alive. We worship a living Savior. He's coming again. Number two, we won't be doing this forever. He is going to keep his promise to return and to bring us to be with himself. And that gives us great encouragement as we hope and actively serve and wait for his soon coming. Jesus himself said in John chapter 6, verse 40, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Those are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. He is coming for us, and he will take us to be with him in heaven, but only for those who would believe and put their trust in him. If you want to be in heaven one day, I would suggest to you strongly, get to know the Lord Jesus now. It makes no sense to want to be in heaven, but choosing to ignore him. Heaven is all about enjoying our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you to get to know the Lord Jesus now. Finally, participating in the Lord's Supper, it comes with a warning. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And so a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. So there's a warning here. There's a warning. Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. So what does it mean to partake of the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner? Let's think about that. It may mean to disregard or undermine the value of the bread and the cup, as it represents the tremendous price that our Savior paid to save us. Or it may mean that we're allowing this meeting, when we come to it, to just be a ritual that we just simply attend each week. Or it could mean that perhaps we're coming to the Lord's Supper with unconfessed sin. So what should we do before we come to the breaking of bread? Well, in keeping with the scriptures, it's important that we examine ourselves before we eat the bread and drink the cup, confessing any known sin. We should come with our baskets full, prepared to offer to the Lord a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Him. You know, and even sometimes if you're struggling in your faith and you don't feel like coming to the breaking of bread, come anyways and allow the Lord to speak to you and to encourage you and to restore you. When we come to the breaking of bread and we hear words of love and thanksgiving expressed to the Lord, it often encourages us and it softens our hearts and it makes us appreciate again how much the Lord loves us and what He has done to save us. So if you're not right with the Lord, first of all, just confess your sins to Him. Tell Him what He already knows. Ask for His forgiveness and He'll restore you. And then you can eat the bread and you can drink of the cup. Or if not, probably it would be a good idea to pass then on eating the bread and drink and the cup so that you don't eat and drink condemnation to yourself. But do come to the meeting anyways and allow God to speak to you, as this is God's personal invitation to you. There's much more that can be said about the importance of the Lord's Supper, but suffice to say, it's not a meeting to be missed or taken lightly. A lawyer once asked the Lord Jesus in Matthew 22, he said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And in verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." We call it the law of love yesterday at DVBS. We had the opportunity to share this with the kids. And so let's think about the first commandment. We are commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. The heart. What is the heart? To love the God with our heart. Well, with the heart is where we treasure things, where we value things, where we love things. So to love the Lord with all of our hearts means that which we love. What about our souls? With our souls, if you think about it, we worship, we exalt, we adore. To love the Lord with our soul is basically to direct our worship to Him. What about our minds? How do we love the Lord with our minds? Well, with our minds, we engage in our thinking, right? And so with our minds, we can pray. We can sing hymns of worship and praise. We can remember. And so when you think about the essence of what we do in the breaking of bread, and we can tie it nicely to the first commandment, to love the Lord with all of our heart and soul and mind. At the breaking of bread, we're doing exactly that. We're coming together. We're praying to God. We're expressing our thanks to Him for who He is and what He's done for us. And as I mentioned, we're singing hymns of praise and worship. And then we're partaking in the bread and the wine to remember the greatest sacrifice ever made by God to show that He loves us. And so the breaking of bread is our beautiful expression of our love to the Lord with our heart and soul and mind. And so with the last few minutes, I'd just like to look at a couple of verses in the Old Testament that talk about do not forget. First one is in Deuteronomy 4:9, if you'd like to turn there with me. Deuteronomy 4:9. This is God speaking to the Israelites. It says, "Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. Do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and that they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. So, what did they see? That's the question. Well, they saw, at a minimum, the 10 plagues that culminated in the death of the firstborn of everything that belonged to the Egyptians. They saw the Red Sea parting, and they were able to cross the Red Sea in safety. They saw the Red Sea closing back again, wiping out the entire Egyptian army that tried to pursue them. They saw a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They saw the manna that was spread out all throughout the desert where they lived so that they could collect that and eat every morning. They saw a lot of things. And so what they were doing is they were not to forget those things, but teach it to their children and their grandchildren so they do not forget. And we too, as parents, grandparents, we have a responsibility to teach these wonderful truths that we have seen from the Word of God and pass that on to them. Deuteronomy 4:23. So watch yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord your God has commanded you. Don't forget the covenant. Don't make yourselves any graven images. Covenant that God made with them was on Mount Sinai when he gave Moses the 10 commandments for the Israelites. So terrifying was that moment, we read, that the Israelites shook with fear, and yet Moses, he couldn't even come down from the mountain, and they had already made a golden calf, bowed down to it, and start worshiping this idol. Do not forget the covenant of the Lord by making a graven image in the form of anything. Do you know that millions of people today bow down to statues? They're still bowing down to statues of Jesus and of Mary, they claim. They even take the bread and the wine and they teach that it changes and transforms into the actual body and blood of the Lord during communion, which is completely wrong. So we have the same problems today. And we need to be so careful not to take scripture and twist the meaning of scripture, nor add or subtract from them, because that can easily turn into idolatry. We're not to do that. So in closing, just want to take a moment and share something that was very encouraging to me. And I'd like to talk about what God has chosen to remember no more. Hebrews 10, let's look at that. Hebrews 10:17. It says this, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. This is also found in Jeremiah 31:34. It says, they will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This is great news. God has chosen to not only forgive our sins, but to remember them no more. Isn't that wonderful? What mercy and what love. He's not going to be bringing it up again to shame us and to make us feel guilty. We have such a gracious God. You know, hopefully when we see King David one day, we will not be bringing up his past failures, but we'll commend him for his faithfulness to the Lord, for what he did well, and being called a man after God's own heart. And I guarantee you, God will not, definitely not bringing up his past failures anymore in heaven. On the other hand, we sometimes have a much more difficult time in forgiving and forgetting the sins of others. And that is not healthy. An unforgiving spirit will quench the Holy Spirit's work in us. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." When we remember other people's sin against us, sometimes it can really eat us up inside. It's like we're poisoning ourselves by a spirit of unforgiveness. And it does not bring us peace and joy. That's what the scriptures say. But if we have these hurtful feelings, what should we do about them? What can we do about them? I would suggest that we turn those feelings of unforgiveness over to the Lord and confess the difficulties and the struggles that we are having in offering forgiveness. We can leave it there with the Lord, because God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." The Lord will settle the issue in time. We don't need to take things into our own hands. If you think about it, Saul, his animosity towards David, he tried to find David and to kill David several times. But what did David do? David just left it in the Lord's hands, and he refused to lift his hand against Saul when twice he could have taken Saul out. He just left it with the Lord. And I think that's a great lesson that we can learn from David about allowing God to settle this, the score, if you will, to make everything right in the end. The point in the Lord's Prayer is that we are all sinners in need of forgiveness ourselves. And because of that, we can also extend forgiveness to others, because we see that we need that desperately in our own lives. Finally, I just want to leave you with some words of encouragement in Philippians 4:8. It says this: "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Remember these things." Do you have a list of these things? Well, hopefully you do, and have constructed them in your minds so that we can recall them and dwell upon them about God's character and God's goodness, remembering the good things of God. So next time you read your Bible and you come across the word remembrance or do not forget, just take a moment and pause and reflect on what it means and see if you can figure out what action is actually associated with it. And I pray that the Lord will help us again remember things in the Bible that we should be doing, but also forgetting those things that we need to forget. So hopefully that's been encouragement to all of us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you again that you are such a loving Savior and so merciful and so kind. We thank you that you've made it possible for us to walk in pleasing with you. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We have the Word of God, this precious Bible that we have that teaches us how to navigate through all of life's challenges and difficulties. And that we can understand this by coming to you and praying and asking for wisdom and help. We thank you so much that you do care and love for us and made it possible for us to be in heaven one day, and that you will keep your promise to bring us one day into heaven with you. We just thank you again for your grace and mercy. Pray that you would encourage us in our walk with you as we navigate through all of life's difficulties. May we live lives that honor and please and glorify you, Lord, we pray. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.